morning, family. My name is Wykina, and I'm a grateful recovering addict. I first give all honor to the God of my understanding and bless me with another day clean. I thank the Frederick area, first of all, for putting on a rocking convention this year. And I thank you for blessing me with the opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope. I want to give a shout out to an awesome man in this program that I've been blessed to do this journey with for about 23 years. This is acknowledging his 25th clean day today, or his 25th anniversary. My big daddy, Gary V. Happy anniversary, baby. When Gary asked me if I'd do this topic, it was like, wow, I'd be honored, because it is an honor to be asked to do anything in Narcotics Anonymous. And the thing is, y'all, you know what? I was a good little church girl for the early years of my teens, and did well in school, did everything, made my parents real proud. But it wasn't until I got blessed to come into Narcotics Anonymous that I realized that words like faith and hope, they're not really religious words. And it wasn't until I came in here and I understood that there was a difference between religion and spirituality, and that religion is a we and God thing and spirituality is a me and God thing. So even though I went to church as a little girl, I didn't have the me and God thing part. So when I started getting high at about 17, man, church went out the window. I started cutting up. I started dropping out of school. And the thing is, I heard my parents speak so highly, because now I was raised a Christian. So I heard my parents talk about, how awesome God was, and he could do anything, and all of that. But I didn't have any experience with any of that, because there was some tumultuous kind of stuff in my childhood. So though I went to church, and I heard all of these good things, about God and the faith that they had, somewhere in the back of my mind, something wasn't registering. Because I don't understand how, if a God is so good and you're supposed to have all this faith in him, how he let you get molested? How does he let your biological mother die and then put you in an abusive situation? So now I'm a little confused with all of that. So I go on, y'all, and I start getting high, and I'm a member of AARP now, so that means I'm well over 50, right? And I'm grateful. I am, because I didn't think I'd live to see 30. So I came out, though, in the late 70s, with Parliament Funkadelic, we dropping acid and Tabs and some in the Pops, and everything was wonderful, just heavenly. And the thing is, drugs fixed all of that tumultuous stuff that I told you about. Drugs fixed that, though. Drugs took away the pain of all of that and gave me confidence. Helped me feel like I was a part of the cool kids, and it was wonderful. And then in 85, I graduated to narcotics. So now I'm shooting coke and smoking crack and free bracing and going in and out of jail and tricking. And it was, it was a 5-year span, y'all, but good God Almighty, I had 20 years of experience in that 5-year span. I would pray and be like, God, please don't let them step me back this time. And I get stepped back. Lord, please don't let me buy a beat bag. And I get a beat package. So now I don't really see. I'm real confused about that whole thing. So August 15th, 1990, which is my clean date, y'all, that was the last time I used. And I tricked with a guy for $5. And a hit. And that was a bottom for me. But I thank God for it, because it let me know who and what had the power. And it was no longer me. And here's the hit. Now, I rolled up on this cheap joker about 4 o'clock in the morning. So he's like, what's up with you? And I'm like, what's up with you? So he presents me with his offer. And I'm like, I know you could do better than that with all this, right? Now, I'm 90 pounds soaking wet. Right now, y'all, I have a milk chocolate hue, but then I had a dark chocolate hue from my gums and beyond, and it wasn't because of genetics. So I'm like, dude, you can do better than that, right? And he was like, you can take it or leave it. And y'all, I couldn't leave it. Because I had to have one more. And afterwards, I felt like a piece of gum under the bottom of a shoe. So I called somebody in this program and they came and got me. But before that, I had gone to detox. I had my introduction to the 12 steps. And while I was in detox, they diagnosed me with HIV. And I would like to say I was devastated and surprised. I may have been devastated, but I wasn't surprised. Because I know how I carried it, and I know who I carried it with, and at the end of my using, I knew I was destined, y'all, to probably be found dead in an alley somewhere in the D.C. metropolitan area. Because I jump in and out of cars with strangers, and I trick in buildings, and I put my life on the line daily. So I know I stand here only because of the grace and the mercy and the love of God that loved me when I was unlovable. You know, but even in knowing all that good stuff, when I got out of detox, I used. Because I couldn't get with being powerless. That's a punk word, y'all. And when you're on the streets, you can't be powerless. You got to be a soldier. You got to hold yours. You got to suck it in. You can't let them see you sweat. I ain't powerless. I just haven't found a way to do it yet. So I'm going to get out of treatment and I'm going to find a way. And I am so grateful that I ain't find a way. Instead, I ran up on that cheap brother. So I came in here and y'all gave me some real basic things. I accepted the fact that I'm powerless, and it was obvious that my life was a wreck. And even, I always, you know, when we talk about the unmanageability, I knew I was unemployable, I was homeless, I was destitute, I was a hot mess, a bum. So I knew all that. Then I heard y'all talk about the emotional unmanageability. Well, Joaquina, you always allow what you feel to dictate what you do. It's all about what you feel. And then come out with that fly insane statement, I just deal with the consequences when they come. You know, but I accepted the first step, and then God started putting people in my life. And let me say this about faith. The faith that I had was the linkage to you guys. Because y'all had faith that I was going to be all right. Y'all said if you keep coming back, you get better. Y'all said, we're going to love you till you learn how to love yourself. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to love me one day. But you had faith that I was going to get better. So I held on to the faith that you had that it was going to be all right. Because I ain't know. All I knew is if I kept out on the mean green streets of D.C., it was going to be an ugly end for me. So I kept coming back, and then I got a sponsor. And I remember I told her about that HIV thing, and all she said was, so. And she didn't say that to minimize the condition. She was letting me know it was okay. And she had the faith that it was going to be all right. Now my head said, woman, you tripping. They dropping like flies up in D.C. Haven't you heard? People wasting and dying, and it was ugly. HIV was ugly in the late 80s and the early 90s. And there was only one drug, and it was only tolerated by certain races of people, and unfortunately, I wasn't in that race. So I held on to the faith that she had. And then she went even further and said, sweetheart, if you keep coming back, you'll get to a place in your life where you'll see it as a blessing. Now I got a little resentment. I'm like, you ain't even got it. Are you? You know. But she never lied. And I understand. But I held on to her faith. So I kept coming back, and the first power that was really greater than me was y'all, because you were tangible. I could see you. I felt you when you hugged me. Most of the hugs weren't slimy. Some was, right? But most of them weren't. But it was something about your spirits, because the spirit and the heart connects to the spirit and the heart. And the very first sponsor that I had, she said, "Joaquina, when you go to meetings, I want you to get 10 hugs at every meeting that you go to." And I didn't have a problem with it, because I was love hungry and I was scared for my life. And strangers embraced me. And see, I didn't have the blessing of coming in and having a lot of people that I used with out in the streets and that I went to school with. I didn't know none of y'all. But you treated me like you had known me all of your lives. You loved me and you lived by example. And I thank God for my predecessors. I thank God for the women that had the courage to come in here and get naked and tell their stories. Because when they came in, they didn't tell me, "Well, I got here like everybody else." They told me what happened, because I needed to hear it. Because I felt so dirty and so degraded and so low. And I needed to know that another woman had been there. Because you didn't look like where you had been. Y'all was glowing and stuff. And I was dusty. So I needed to know that you was dusty. And I needed to know how you got to the dust. I needed to know, how did you get dusty? What did you do? So please, when you share, let me hear a little bit about what happened. What happened? What was it like? And what it's like now? Because I think new family need to hear. And sometimes every now and then, even us old timers need to hear. So I kept coming back. And I believed in y'all. And y'all loved me and embraced me. So the power that was greater than me was you. And I kept coming back. And then I went to apply for this job. And I was filling out the application. Now, in the day, most job applications would say, "Have you ever been convicted of a crime?" So this one said, "No, have you ever been convicted of a felony?" So now I had no felony convictions. I got a rack of misdemeanors. And I don't have no felonies, right? So I could always honestly answer, "No." But this one said, "If you've ever been convicted of a crime, and if so, please explain." So I'm in this little room. I don't have no cell phone. I can't call my sponsor. I can't call my network. The only one I can call is the God of my understanding. Because now I don't know what to do. Because the dumpy said, "Girl, you know you cannot tell them that your charges are possession and prostitution." And in that still sweet voice, I said, "Girl, just tell it." So I checked yes. And I wrote, "We'll explain in the interview." And I went and I applied for that job, man. And I talked to that lady and I let her know that I had about 18 months clean. And that if she gave me a chance, I would do the best that I could with it. And I got that job. And that experience for me was the catalyst to where God started to shine. And I started to see clearly. Because, see, y'all didn't hook that up. I knew he hooked that up. And then I started to see, fool, he covered you and kept you the whole time. You may have been violated, but he didn't let them take your life. Because a lot of times, y'all, if it hadn't been for him, they would have snuffed me out. And I know it. You know, so I kept coming back, and I was one of those that didn't feel that I was that bad. I just felt like, okay, I'm going to stop whoring, lying, stealing, and using, and I'm good. And I got everything else, and that don't get in a relationship thing, I had no intention on adhering to that, because I got that. You know, and then I kept coming back and realizing that, sweetheart, you need to get out of the driver's seat. So now that God that did that thing for you with that interview, allow that God. And then the other powers that are greater than you that you've identified, which are your sponsor, which are your network, maybe your therapist, maybe your pastor, that all of those entities guide you, right? Because you by yourself are dangerous. And me by myself now is still dangerous. And it's even scarier because there's the denial of having some clean time. So I keep coming back. So now I believe in God because I've seen Him manifest Himself in my life. I know that He works. And new family, I want to tell you, start you a little faith journal. Whether you write it or you do it mentally, every time you go through something and you get a breakthrough, write it down. Write it down on a piece of paper or keep it in your mind. Every time the God of your understanding gives you a breakthrough in anything, because you're going to need it. And what's going to happen is when you go through those times when it's dark, if you go back and you refer to your faith journal, then you'll get a little hope and you'll get some peace. And it'll be like, okay, He got me. So I keep coming back, and I had this episode in 99, and I got sick and I got scared. And I've heard people say that faith and fear can't live in the same house. But I don't understand that, because you tell me I'm an emotional being and I'm a spiritual being and I'm a physical being. So when the trial hit, is it not common that all of those beings will react to that situation? But the goal is bring it all under submission into the spiritual being. Because if you bring it all under submission into the spiritual being, then you can walk it in faith. So I kept coming back. And I got sick and I got scared. And God put angels in my life to help me, because I thought I was getting ready to check out. So when it get heavy and I can't see, because I've had some situations, y'all, that have knocked the wind out of a sister. But thank God for the people that He's put in my life. Because I have a sister that'll grab me by the left, and a sister that'll grab me by the right, and a wonderful husband that'll grab the back, and we'll keep it moving. And y'all spoke faith into me, and y'all told me, girl, you're going to be fine. Just keep coming back. And it turned out well. Because what I understand is my biggest problem with faith is that God's not going to give me what I want, my will, and that He's taking too long. But then I don't realize, why can't you be asking for some stuff for real? You don't know what you want, because I don't know if you've ever had the experience of wanting something and then having faith that you're going to get it, and then getting it and then being like, I don't want this. Take this from me. Because His response, see, I pray and I ask. My faith, and that third step faith for me, is that I'm going to be okay. It's going to work out. So I kept coming back, and it got better, and I got sick again, and I had to have a hysterectomy, and I had to have a blood transfusion. And I was like, I don't want nobody's blood. Now, I done been in the oil joint sharing blood and cookers and cottons and all kinds of stuff with people. Now, all of a sudden, we don't want to take no pills. I don't want no blood transfusion, right? And I had to have a blood transfusion. And I prayed, and it's like, Lord, I don't want to have no blood transfusion. But prior to that, I had broke out in a really bad case of psoriasis, y'all. And I suffer a little bit from vanity, right? It's gotten better. But it was kind of ugly, all on my feet and hands and stuff. And I had gone to the dermatologist, and they had given me creams and potions and lotions and wasn't working out, right? So now I had a hysterectomy, and then I had to have the blood transfusion. And do y'all know that after I got the blood transfusion, the psoriasis cleared up? So it was like, okay, guys, I see. So sometimes, again, the response is no, because I've got something better for you. Just trust me. You know, I got a son, y'all, that I left while I was using. And I bruised that kid horribly emotionally. And now he's a disabled Afghani vet with PTSD and a lot of other stuff. And that kid had cut me off for years, y'all. And I prayed, and I was like, God, I want to have a relationship with my son. You know, and he wasn't responding to me, and then he, you know, told me this stuff about leaving, and it hurt, and he would ignore me, and I got to love him unconditionally, because that's what y'all did for me, because I just can't come in here and love y'all unconditionally and be here for y'all. That has to extend outside of this room. I got to do the same thing with my family and with anybody else that God puts in my path. Because if you don't think we on a mission and that we have purpose and we have call with all this good spiritual information that we get, you're in denial. You know, so the God of my understanding broke through and he started calling me. But then when he started calling me, he started talking to me about the degradation and the devastation of his war experience. About being molested as a kid, and I ain't even know it. So now he's giving me all this stuff that for real, I'm not emotionally, Lord, what do I do with it? But I prayed and asked for it. I wanted the relationship. So when you pray and ask for it, have, and if God presents the opportunity and brings it to you, no matter how it feels, no matter how it looks, know that he's already equipped you with everything and everybody that you need to go through it. So I'm loving on him as best I can. You know, I can't give him all this good NA stuff because right now he got a problem with God. I can't sponsor him, and I have to respect and trust where he is. And just why can't I have faith that the same God, boo-boo, that's getting your crazy behind together can do it for him, but it will be in he and God's time. So I was also diagnosed with hepatitis C, y'all, and about 6 months ago, I had two different physicians tell me that I had a form of liver cancer. Georgetown doctor said, okay, we want to go in and do a resection of the liver and we need to get you on a transplant list. And when they told me, it took the wind out of me. Because again, I am an emotional and a physical and a spiritual being. And I'm sorry, the emotional response was the first one. And I cried. And I left there and I called my husband and he prayed with me and I got in my car and I talked to my higher power. And I was like, Lord, you know what? I don't want this. But if it be your will, because now at the 11th step, I'm trusting in his will for me. Because now through my experience, I know whatever he sees that I get to, he's giving me what I need to get through. So it's like, Lord, I don't want it. And you told me I could ask you for what I want. So I'm asking you to take this from me, but if it be your will, Daddy, just give me what I need to get through it. And I talked to some other folks, and they prayed with me, you know, and I kept it moving. And I talked to my sponsees and anybody else that would listen, you know. Two doctors. You got liver cancer. We got to do a resection of the liver. You got to get on the liver transplant list. And 2 weeks ago, I went back and I had an MRI, and they told me that the lesion had decreased significantly in size. And I'm on that new liver treatment, and I'm keeping it moving. And Narcotics Anonymous is awesome. Family. When I go in my home and I flick my light switch, I have confidence that that light's going to come on. Faith is just confidence in the God of your understanding. Faith is that light in that dark situation. When I walk in the house and I click that light on, it ain't like, oh God, is it going to come on? Because I know today I'm responsible and I can pay the electric bill. If I flick that light on and it don't come on, I know a bulb is blown and I can go put a bulb in, you know, and keep it moving. So family, in that dark place, flick that light switch on. And the hit is, if you can't get the faith of your own right now, it's really all right. Keep coming and just use somebody else's. Because the therapeutic value, man. The therapeutic value. When I can't, we can. I thank y'all. I love y'all. And I'm going to keep coming.